Chapter 34, Luna City. Callie looked from the screen to the map.
Where did it go? If I knew that, I wouldn't have said, it's gone.
Tessa swiped through a few camera views.
It must have slipped into a dead zone when we weren't looking.
Is the next door breached?
Jake asked. An image of the section door swept onto the big screen.
No, it looks solid. Maybe it's in a room, said Callie. Any doors on the hallway open or broken?
The screen flitted between four different camera views.
I don't see any open doors, said Tessa.
Jake swept his hands over the desktop and expanded the boulevard layout until it covered the east half of the city.
There are cameras or sensors in the vents? Or in that service tunnel?
I don't know,
Tessa said. Can you find out?
I'm trying. This isn't what I trained for.
Callie looked at the map, then expanded it even more.
Where are the closest people?
Jake furrowed his brow. His mouth became a thin line as he studied the map. He pointed at a spot about halfway down Celine.
Here, I think. There were some people hiding in the grocery store last night when I was patrolling the boulevards. They might still be there.
So it's probably either in this vent or the service tunnel.
She traced two lines through the holographic map.
Makes sense, Jake said.
If I'm reading this right, there's two barriers between it and the people, so 2 hours to move everyone again. Maybe less. Not everyone, said Tessa. Just maybe a dozen people who are still in Celine and squeezing through the vent may slow the creature down.
Callie skimmed through IDs on her tab.
Two people there who are in the lunar network, Paxton and Ganbatar?
First or last? Asked Jake.
That's all it says.
Sounds kind of familiar. Natalie Paxton's a lunar geologist. Met her a couple times. Think we had drinks once.
Guess you get to do the honors then.
He lifted his own tab.
Hey, Paxton?
They all counted to four before the channel clicked and a hesitant voice answered.
Hey, Yazzie. Any good news?
Afraid not. Need you and those folks you're with to head over to Khonsu Boulevard.
What's there?
More about what's not there.
Ah,
she said.
Are they... Which is it, this monster thing I'm hearing about of the dead people?
Doesn't matter, said Jake. 'Cause you won't be there when it shows up.
Right,
Paxton said.
It, singular, okay.
There's no rush, no immediate danger.
He locked eyes with Callie.
Somebody will come down right now and help you get everyone moving. I'm going to check some stuff and then I'll be down there too.
Callie nodded, checked the map again, and left them in Gordon's office. She went down Glety Boulevard in five bounding strides, sailing above the cobblestones. Out of habit, her legs kicked up and her toes pointed. Her sixth leap carried her out into the plaza. At least 20 people milled around the front of the hotel, between her and the entrance to Celine. Just as many more stood in small groups around the plaza. A small girl poked at the half-rotted remains around the withered Armstrong tree. Her fingers came away smudged with glistening brown. A thin-haired tourist's face lit up when he saw her.
You there. What's going on? Is there a rescue ship here yet?
Callie slowed her pace.
Not yet, no. Right now we're figuring out how we can...
You work here, said the man.
His voice grew a sharp edge and his comb-over waved above his head in the low gravity.
Shouldn't you be following emergency plans or something?
This isn't really a situation anyone ever planned for,
she said, taking another step.
But we're figuring it out. Everything's going to be fine.
But when are we...
Please go back to the hotel,
she told him.
You really shouldn't be out in the open.
I shouldn't be here at all,
he shouted as she leaped away. Two more long strides carried her through the big arch of Celine Boulevard. She slowed again and found the grocery store by its address. With the shutters down over the windows and the door closed, it could have been a storeroom or a vacant space. It idly crossed her mind that she had no idea what it cost to rent space on the moon. She ran her hand across the door's panel. When it didn't open, she rapped her knuckles on it. Then she slapped her palm hard 3 times against the door. It slid away to reveal a Luna City Gray's shirt stretched tight across a broad chest. She looked up past the thick neck and found 2 dark eyes under a unibrow.
"You," rumbled the heavy-set man.
"Me," she answered. "I'm looking for Paxton."
He nodded and stepped aside.
"Are you Ganbeater?"
"Ganbatar."
Another nod.
"Sorry, nice shirt."
"Thanks, it's from the shop."
He gestured across the avenue to the souvenir store. The sleeve pulled up and showed off the script on his arm, like a string of Arabic or Thai characters with a line running through them. She looked around the small grocery store. A group of 2 men and 3 women stood by the produce section. Dark, slimy lumps filled the bins around them. A man and woman stood by a small display of crackers, and another couple whispered to each other in the checkout line. The woman's hair twisted into 4 thick braids. Callie turned back to the big man, his thick finger extended out, pointing at the couple by the crackers. She nodded to him and stepped across the room.
"Paxton?" "Yes."
She swept a few strands from her face.
"Jake Azzi sent you?" "I'm Callie Washington. I'm another one of the emergency deputies."
She held up her arm, showed off the rotating badge on her tab.
"We really need to get everyone out of here." "I know. I've been trying to figure out how to tell them."
"You tell them to move."
"Yes, I know. It's just, they won't listen to me. Everybody,"
Callie called out.
"We need to leave the store. Please head out to the main plaza, and from there we're going to head to the Arboretum over on Honsu." "We're safe here,"
snapped one of the women from the produce group. She had white skin, white hair, and hawkish features.
"Safe right now," said Callie. "But we think this area is under threat, at risk."
"Which is it?"
The man by the register frowned.
"Is there a threat or just a risk?"
"A definite threat. Something worse than the zombies." "Which is why we're safe here,"
said the white-haired woman.
"Steel shutters, a solid door, enough food to last all of us a week."
"You have to pay for that," said Ganbatar.
"It's a crisis,"
the woman said, brandishing a bottle of water in the air.
"You can't price gouge us."
"I'm just saying you have to pay for it."
He crossed his thick arms over his chest.
"It doesn't matter because nobody's going to be here," said Callie. "Please, just head over to the Arboretum before this thing gets here." "The thing from upstairs?"
asked the 4-braided woman with a shudder. Callie nodded.
"You heard her," said Ganbatar. "Everybody out."
"It's a crisis,"
repeated the white-haired woman. She took a drink of water and stiffened her legs. Callie ignored the group in produce and turned to the others.
"Come on, everyone."
Paxton headed out. The man she'd been talking to stepped forward. The couple at the checkout line shuffled toward the door. 2 men came out from one of the shallow aisles.
"No,"
said a man next to the white-haired woman. His appearance and mannerisms marked him as the woman's partner, a junior partner at best.
"You can't make us leave somewhere we think we're safe."
"Actually, I can,"
said Callie. She held up her tab, displayed the badge again.
"So if you'll all just head out of here."
"On what grounds?"
asked the white-haired woman.
"What?
On what legal grounds are you asking us to leave?"
"There's a monster coming, and I'm trying to keep it from eating all of you. So, no legal grounds?"
"Unless you passed martial law and we didn't hear about it,"
said the woman's partner. She gave him an approving smirk. Callie rolled her eyes and nodded in thanks to the other couple as they left the store. Then she felt a faint pulse from her tab.
"Callie,"
said Tessa's voice.
"You need to get out of the grocery store now."
"Yeah, I'm trying to get them all—"
"No, right now,"
interrupted Tessa. Get out, lock the door behind you. What's wrong? We misread the diagrams. There aren't any barricades in the vents.
What?
The symbols aren't barriers. They're filters for the air.
There's two screen doors between you and that thing, Jake butted in. It could be there any minute, even dragging itself through the vents.
Callie looked up where the walls met the low ceiling. One of the big Atmo vents sat over the produce section. From this angle, the wide rectangle framed the white-haired woman's face. Her head and shoulders would fit into it with no problem.
You heard them, she shouted. Everybody out, now!
Her eyes didn't leave the vent. The other woman in the dead vegetable quintet took a few abrupt steps toward the door.
We're safe inside, Isabel, the white-haired woman barked.
The younger woman glanced between them.
But if there's really a monster...
What the fuck?
Roared Ganbatar. Callie turned, saw the big man standing just outside the door, heard Paxton scream out on the boulevard, heard the sound of 100 bones splintering.
Callie, Jake called from her tab. It came out by...
I know.
She leaped outside in time to glimpse a figure yanked away, clawing at the cobblestones. The creature sprawled beneath a bent and twisted vent grill two doors down. Definitely bigger now. A fourth tentacle stretched and flexed above the central mass. The shreds of Paxton's jumpsuit lay scattered around it like silver and gray leaves. Ganbatar backed away toward the plaza. The four-braided woman ran after her partner as the creature dragged him close. He hollered at her to run, and she kept moving toward him. The long tentacles swung him around by his legs. He threw up his hands as one of the stubby tentacles rushed at him. Another crackle of bone, another ripping of fabric, another long tentacle reached for the humans. Callie's feet settled on the boulevard just seconds after her leap. She risked a glance back. Paxton's companion and the two other men were almost at the plaza with another tourist a few meters behind them. Ganbatar broke and ran after them. Something thumped next to her. The store's door shutting. Another set of thuds and a new icon on the panel told her it had locked. From the inside.
No! Shouted Callie. You idiots!
The new tentacle snatched up the four-braided woman and pulled her in close. Her clothes burst away. The creature's central mass swelled. It reached out with all four limbs, heaved against the cobblestones, and dragged itself toward Callie. Callie gave the storefront a last look and ran after Ganbatar.